Please let us stand as we hear the Holy Gospel for this Sunday of the Transfiguration from St. Matthew's Gospel, the 17th chapter, beginning at verse 1. Glory to you, O Lord. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I love, with him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Lord Jesus, we give you thanks for this mighty word that you have declared to us this day. We thank you, Lord, that you gave your people, your closest disciples, the apostles you sent out to the people of Israel, the apostles who saw marvelous miracles, who healed the sick and raised the dead, who cleansed the lepers, and who declared the wonderful works that you had told them to declare. Lord, you revealed yourself to them after Simon Peter declared that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, and as he tried to befriend you and tell you that you didn't have to die, you called him Satan. You said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." And yet, you showed him, as you turned yourself inside out, you showed him your glory, your power, who you were. And the Father declared, again as he did at your baptism, that you are his Son, whom he loves, with whom he is well pleased. And he added those 3 little words, "Listen to him." And Lord, we pray as we end this series on kingdom that we would listen to you. Not only listen to you, but we would understand. And not only understand, but we would put into practice what you taught us. So we would see your power and your authority lived out among your people and in this church. Lord, bless your word to us this day. May it seed in us. May we, like Elisha, receive a double portion of your spirit. And may we be your witnesses in Ypsilanti, in Washtenaw County, in Michigan, and to the ends of the earth. Thank you, Lord, for your word this day. May it touch our hearts and may it change our lives. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, this is one of the most remarkable Sundays of the church year. Because the Epiphany season comes after Christmas, and we have the 12 days of Christmas, then we have Epiphany, then we have this Epiphany season, and sometimes it's really short depending on when Easter comes, right? Sometimes it can be really long depending on when Easter comes. Last year was long because Easter was late. And during that season, we put the green colors up because it's a time of learning. It's a time for us to grow. That's what the green colors stipulate. It's growth. And we grow. And then just before we go into this Lenten season, which is a time of reflection, a time of prayer, a time of preparation, we have this wonderful Sunday called the Sunday of the Transfiguration. And why it's so important, I believe, is because we need it. It's kind of like that extra boost. You know, it's kind of like an energy drink just before you go into a big race. And a lot of times the 40 days of Lent seem like, to me, a big race. Because I so quickly want to get Easter as soon as we get through Ash Wednesday. It's like, okay, I got the ashes, now let's get to the resurrection, you know? I don't know if you're like me, but, you know, the contemplative, reflective times as an extrovert, as someone who's pretty excited most of the time about things, I don't want to have a downer. You know what I mean? I want to get to the resurrection, you know? I always liked it when I came to Ann Arbor and was first introduced to Cross and Resurrection. I thought, boy, you know, there's no way you can miss anything in this church. You got to go through the cross to get to the resurrection. I know that, but there is something exciting about the fact that we know the end of the story. There's something exciting as we go into Lenten season, as a time of preparation, that we know the end of the story. And what I want to talk about today is how this is really the bookend to our series on the kingdom. Remember, we started this series on the kingdom the first Sunday in Epiphany. If you remember, the first Sunday in Epiphany is the baptism of our Lord Sunday. And it was interesting because as Jesus came up from the River Jordan, what did God rip open, as Mark says, ripped open heaven and declared, or in Matthew's gospel, a voice came from heaven and declared, what did God say as Jesus came up from the River Jordan and as the dove ascended on him, the Holy Spirit ascended on him, what did God say? This is my Son, whom I love, with him, or whom I am well pleased. Go sit down, Jeremiah. He's excited too. Gets it from his dad. I mean, wasn't that remarkable, those words? That was the beginning of our series, right? It was an acknowledgement that when God says that to Jesus, when the Father says it to the Son, then as children of the Son, adopted through the Son, redeemed by the Son, given new life through Jesus' blood, we can hear those same words to us, right? You are my child, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. And so now we have the perfect bookend. We have the same experience happening as Peter has just gone through what I would call the ultimate high and low experience, right? In Matthew 16, you see him declaring, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. When Jesus asks, who am I? Who do people say that I am? And then who do you say I am? And he says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus turns to him and said, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not given to you by man, but by my Father in heaven, right? I mean, he is like pumped. He is excited. It's like, I got it right, yes. And in that, you know, worldly tendency of human beings, he thinks that he's got it figured out now. So he feels emboldened. And as soon as Jesus tells him what's going to happen when he goes to Jerusalem, what does he say? Never, Lord. That'll never happen to you. Don't talk like that. That's negative. Don't talk like that. The difference between being negative and being truthful. He's just being truthful. And remember what Jesus did? When he started saying, you know, never, it'll never happen. What did he say? Get behind me. I mean, that's got to be really tough, you know? You go from being blessed are you to get behind me, Satan. And why did he say that? Because what does Satan do? Satan has in mind the things of men rather than the things of God. And what I find fascinating is that right there, as he's declaring to Peter that we are to have in mind the things of God and that we are to be a kingdom people, that we are to do what Jesus did because he's the author and he has given us authority, which means reflecting the author, to do these things, that we would have his power to do what he has done. And he says in John 14, even greater things than he has done, right? Isn't that remarkable? I did love that verse. We'll do even greater things than Jesus did. Now, I think that's pretty cool. And he says, as he prepares to teach his disciples before they head on the journey, as Luke says, to Jerusalem, as his departure is coming to Jerusalem, he tells them this. In all three Gospels, you can look it up. It's in Matthew 17, Mark 9, and Luke 9. It begins always with the passage that it varies in language a little bit, but basically, you who are standing here will not die until you see the kingdom of God come with power. Isn't that awesome? You'll see the Son of Man come in his power. You'll see the Chosen One come in his power. You'll see the kingdom of God come in power. And then depending again on whether you're Matthew or whether you're Luke or whether you're a Hebrew or a Greek, one says 8 days, one says 6 days. Really what they mean is a week. Depends on how you count. Remember, Jews have a different way of counting. They start the days differently. So it's not a mistake, because some people say, oh, I read a blog. That proves the Bible's wrong. Because one said six and one said eight. And I'm going, wrong. You don't understand. If you're a Greek, you start the days like we do, on the 12th hour. If you're a Hebrew, when do you start the day? Six in the evening, sunset, right? By the equator, it's six. To the sixth the next day. So very different way of counting. So Matthew says 6 days later, so a week later, they go up on this mountain to do what? To pray. They're going up on the mountain to pray. This is important, folks, because guess what we're going to be concentrating on during this 40 days and 6 Sundays of Lent? Prayer. We're going to look at prayer. We're going to look at the Lord's Prayer. We're going to look at Jesus' high priestly prayer. We're going to spend time talking about the gift of prayer that we have as God's people. It is the source of power. It is the source of intimacy. It is an amazing gift. And they go up on the mountain to pray. Jesus, as is his tradition, takes his three closest disciples with him, Peter, James, and John, brother of James. And it's interesting because in Matthew's gospel, it said they were kind of tired. No, it's not in Matthew's gospel. It's in Luke's gospel. It said they were sort of tired. And when this all happened, they became fully awake. You got to look at that. It's kind of interesting. How many of us, when we pray, find it like we get tired? That's why I like that gospel, because I can relate to that. You know, it's like I can be wide awake and I start to pray, and it's like, I went to a prayer summit the week before last, and it was a 3-day prayer summit, and I remember thinking to myself, what am I going to do for 3 days? And that was so cool, because I helped by saying, well, I got to tell you the truth. He said, the one day I started praying, and I'm leading the prayer summit, he says to us, and there was a chair with one of the armrests, kind of like that chair back there. And he said, I was very noble. I wanted to take a posture of prayer. So I knelt down and I put my head, my chin on one of the rests there. And he said, I got so enthralled in the prayer that I fell asleep. And when I woke up, there was this legal pad underneath me that said, thou shalt not snore. Made us all feel better. It went by so fast. 3 days of prayer and it went by hugely fast. It wasn't because I slept. I never did. But it was an amazing gift. Anyway, so they go up on the mountain to pray, right? And when they're there, all of a sudden, Jesus turns inside out. This is the way I like to explain it. Turns inside out. Those who are wondering, is Jesus really the Son of God who is going to be revealed in power? Is he really the one who he says he is, that Peter just confessed he is? Is he really the one who we've been waiting for? Is he really the one who is going to do all the things that he has just talked about? And what happens in front of Peter, James, and John? He transfigures before them, and they are able to see his glory. Now, it's hard for us because, you know, we have bleach in our world. We see things that are pretty white, right? We have lights that are amazing. We can light up a room. But if you're in this culture where the brightest light is the sun, just like it is today. But if you're trying to have artificial light, and if you try to talk about white, there is no white. There's off-white. And so when you look at this word, it means that they were amazed. They were in awe, because Jesus literally shows his glory. And it is amazing. I think Mrs. Hart said in the children's sermon, they fell to the ground because they were amazed, right? And scared. I like Mark and Luke, because they basically, you know, say Peter didn't know what he was saying because he was frightened. Well, yeah. In our gospel today, in Matthew, we heard he taps him and says, get up, don't be afraid. Because they were scared when they saw Jesus transfigured and they saw Moses and Elijah. And why was Moses and Elijah so important? We read about Elijah in the first lesson. What happened? How did Elijah leave the world? He had chariot of fire. He had the ultimate express ticket, didn't he? I mean, he left this world. It's an amazing story. And Moses, we don't know where Moses is buried. Why? Because God took him. Kind of like Enoch in the Old Testament. God took him. The Bible says God buried him. God took him. And so there's always, in the time of Jesus, there's always this kind of mystery, of course, because Elijah just left on a chariot, so nobody really knew what happened with him, just except that he went to be with the Lord, right? And Moses. So there's a mystery behind them. And so when they show up, it's pretty amazing, right? I mean, we can understand Peter's idea of keeping this mountaintop experience going, right? Let me build 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, so we can keep going. Kind of like when you go to a prayer summit or you go to a conference and you're having a mountaintop experience, do you want to leave? No. You want to stay there. You want to bask in the glory. And so it made sense that he wanted to build shelters and stay there, because it was amazing. They got to see who Jesus really was. If they had any doubt, you know, I often wonder, what happened, Peter, when he got to the place where you denied him? Because couldn't you remember just what happened to you on the Mount of Transfiguration? I'd like to think that I would remember that. And remember how he turned inside out and he showed you his glory and he showed you he was the Son of Man, that he was the Son of God, that he was the chosen one, and that he was revealing his power to you. And that Moses and Elijah came to talk to him about his departure in Jerusalem, which is the cross, to encourage him. And how God speaks again. How this time he envelops them. You ever wonder what that really means? A cloud enveloped them. That's a nice way of saying they were immersed in God. I've gone to a few conferences where the Holy Spirit has come so amazingly that I think I have kind of a glimpse of what it was like on that mountain, where you just know if you leave the room that there's something in the room that is different from outside of the room. That the Holy Spirit is so evident and so powerful, it's like God wrapped his arms around the group. And you're going, wow. It says the cloud enveloped them. And out of this cloud comes these words, and they should hearken back to the words of Jesus' baptism. This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. But then he adds those 3 little words, right? Why do you think he added those 3 little words? What are the 3 little words? Listen to him. In Matthew 13, and we heard a little bit as Roosevelt Gray shared last week, as he shared about the parable of the sower, remember? Where the farmer goes out and he sows his seed. Some fell along the path. Others fell on rocky soil. Still others on good soil. And when he got to the end of the parable, his disciples said, well, why are you speaking in parables? And he harkens back to Isaiah, where he says, he quotes to them Isaiah, where it says, you'll be ever hearing, but never understanding. And he says, you have the secrets of the kingdom. That's for us. We have the secrets of the kingdom. We know about who we are. We know that we belong to God. We know that we're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. We know that we have the authority that God has given to us. We know we are called. We know we are sent. We know we have the power to do what God has sent us to do. That's for us. So we have the secrets of the kingdom. And what are the secrets of the kingdom? Well, he closes, Paul shared with you that a few weeks back. He closes the end of his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7 with what words? As he shares about that house built on the rock versus the house built on sand. What did he say? What did he say? Who are the people that build their house on a foundation of rock? The people that hear the word and obey, put it into practice. So when you listen to him, it's not just hear him, it's listen to him. It's understand and put into practice what he's saying. Now, you think that if God says that, if he envelops you and he says, you are my child, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased, listen, that you might listen? Some of you are going, can I have another chance? I mean, those are powerful words considering the circumstances, right? Taken in the context, those are powerful words because what God is saying to those, the three dearest disciples of Jesus, is listen to what he just said. Remember what Peter just got rebuked for? He was hearing, but he wasn't listening. He wasn't understanding. He was saying, yeah, I hear you, Jesus, but that's really not going to happen. Isn't that how we kind of react to God every once in a while? Some of us are going, really? Only every once in a while? Isn't that how we react to God? Yeah, I know you have the power to heal, but I kind of like this sympathy thing, you know? It's working good for me. I know you said you could cast out demons, but you know, sometimes they're fun. Someone asked me a question last night. Michelle, I think, she's working in the nursery. She asked me a question about what it means in Romans where it says God gave them over. That was a great question because I told her, I said, you know, that's an amazing question. And I always love questions. If you come to the 7 o'clock class tonight, that's really what I want it to be, is a time for people to ask questions. And I said, you know, it's kind of like if you were a Hebrew person and you heard that question about Romans, you know, what does it mean that God gave them over? It's kind of like what is referring back to when the Pharaoh had his heart hardened by God towards the Israelites. You wonder, well, how can God harden hearts? Well, all he did is remove his spirit and allow them to go in the direction they wanted to go. He let them do what they wanted to do. Really? He just kind of, instead of doing what he promises to do for each one of us, and he has promised, as we confess as Lutheran Christians, we confess when we talk about the third article of the creed that God is always calling and drawing and inviting people. He just stopped. He said, okay, fine, if you're going to go in that direction, because the more you go in that direction, the harder it is to hear, to listen, and to put into practice. I happen to believe, because I know the power of grace, that God never gives up. That he doesn't give up. But that's the way to explain it. I mean, really. If someone wants to go in a direction and they start to justify themselves and they start to build arguments against the truth, I mean, it is, they kind of like dealing with demons, don't they? They kind of like living with their own understanding. They don't want to listen to him. They want to listen to them. They don't listen to their own heart and their sinful nature. And Satan just encourages them. And it's terrible. And I pray. And I'm so thankful you're here today because I know something. If you're here today, then the Holy Spirit is drawing you. Right? If you're here today, the Holy Spirit is working on your heart. If you're here today and you're not a believer, I believe, you know, it's simply a matter of trust. Then you're already there. Isn't that awesome? So brothers and sisters, I want to close by asking this question. Are you listening? Are you listening? Because that's what this whole sermon on the kingdom, the series on the kingdom is about. Is know who you are. Know the authority that you have. Know that you are called and sent. Know the power of the Holy Spirit that works in your hearts and lives. And expect to see the glory. Expect to see the power. Expect it. Because you're not only hearing, you're listening. You're not only seeing, you're understanding. The Lord has taught us. Do you really believe that we will do even greater things than he did? It's a simple question. But it's a scary answer. Isn't it? It's a scary answer. Because what did Jesus do? Cast out demons, healed the sick, fed 5,000 men, not including women and children, 4,000 men, not including women and children, had leftovers with 5 loaves and 2 fish, walked on water, raised the dead. I mean, really? Do you believe that you will do even greater things than this? If you do, then this Lenten season will be nothing. Because these 40 days of prayer will only prepare us to celebrate the most amazing gift that we have, the truth of the resurrection. That as Jesus rose from the dead, we too shall rise. And we shall know that we have everlasting life, the forgiveness of sins, and the promise that we will see his glory, and the promise that we will with him forever. We are kingdom people. Isn't that awesome? I know you're falling asleep. Come on, be fully awake. We're kingdom people. I'm sorry, I get a little excited. I mean, this is cool. Is this boring? This is amazing. I'm not turned inside out for you, sorry. That's a Jesus trick. That's a Jesus thing, sorry, not a trick. But, brothers and sisters, you are God's children, whom he loves, with whom he is well pleased. Listen to him. Listen to him. Because he has great things in store for you, for me, for his church, as we live out his kingdom power with a sense of expectation. And you're going to hear a story at the end of the service today about healing. Because the Lord is alive and well. He healed me. He's healing others. He's doing amazing things. And we want to celebrate the truth that our God is alive. And that he has the power, and he has called us, and he has sent us to be kingdom people, to share the truth, to know who we are, to know we are loved, to know that he is well pleased with us, and to know that we are listening to him and living and putting into practice what he has taught us. It is going to be a great Lenten season, isn't it? It is going to be an awesome Easter season. I can see it already, and boy, is it going to be an amazing Pentecost? Because the Lord is here. His kingdom is here. And he has great things in store for each one of us. Amen.